Turn your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon. I'm Jaron Vecchio. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about the census. And joining me over Zoom is Kojo Ifu, who is a supervisor for planning and development, socioeconomic, with the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo. And Kojo, I appreciate you taking a couple minutes. And I know that the municipal census has been extended to the end of July. So maybe just to start off, can you explain why it's been extended? I'm assuming that this means that we haven't reached the number we were hoping to hit.
Thank you for having me on today. I'm excited to talk about the census. Anytime that I get the chance to talk about it, I really want to talk about it. And yes, you are right that we've extended the census until the end of July. And yes, the reason is because we haven't reached the completion rate that we hoped to reach. And you know, a bit of background on the census. You know, since 2015, when we've been doing the census, we've hit 100% enumeration, which means that every addresses that we have on the list, we've managed to make contact with the address. Either we counted people there, or there was no one. We marked it out as vacant dwellings, or we know that the residence was occupied, but we still could not make any contact after number of visits, and we marked the dwelling as a non-contact. So we've managed to reach all of them. Mm-hmm. In 2018, same thing. We reached all the resident 100% enumeration. So again, in 2021, our target is to reach 100% enumeration. But by mid-June, we looked at our completion rate, and we were around 35 to 37%, which is not really great. And therefore, we decided to extend it till July, you know, hoping that we get to much higher enumeration rate.
I think you were quite nice when saying that it wasn't great. We had 100 and then 100, and now a few weeks ago we were at just 37%. That's a big drop. Have you heard from some residents about maybe the reason why they're not taking part in the census? I'm assuming that the pandemic has had played a part. I remember in 2018 having a census enumerator come to our house. And I know this year a lot of it at the start was focused on it being virtual. So did that play a big part in maybe why the numbers are so low right now?
Absolutely. So when I mentioned the 100% enumeration in 2015 and in 2018, one of the things that played a key role in us getting to that point was door-to-door enumeration. Every time we do the census, we use three methods to get it completed. The first one is we send letters to residents' home with a PIN number on it that they can use to log in onto our census application and enumerate themselves. There's also the option of calling the pulse line and getting enumerated, or getting your PIN number through that and enumerating yourself again. Then the third option is we do what we call door-to-door enumeration. Typically, we start the door-to-door enumeration a little early. By the second week of April, we start door-to-door enumeration, because by that point, we've seen the folks that would respond online that would have responded by that point, and the online enumeration continued to trickle in later. But because of the pandemic this time, we decided to much more focus on the online enumeration, because we didn't want to start going door-to-door. You know, we had to put safety measures in place and take the safety of the resident into consideration. So we really used the entire month of April to do online enumeration and residents to enumerate themselves. But by the third week of April, we're really seeing really low enumeration rates coming from resident enumerating themselves. Right around the month of May, we were going to start the door-to-door enumeration, but that was around the time where the local the, the, the local state of emergency was put in place, so we had to hold off again. So all of that is contributing to, you know, the low enumeration rate that we're seeing right now. So we've started door-to-door enumeration since June 12th, and that has moved our completion rate quite high. As of this morning, we're almost at 51%, which is good.
Okay, so about a 15% rise. That's a big number. And I'm assuming that throughout July, the big push is going to be going door to door. Obviously, the virtual is still an option, but there's a good chance if you haven't filled out, I wouldn't say a good chance, there is going to be a chance you're going to see an enumerator at the door one day this month.
Absolutely, yes. So the enumerators have already started going around. Typically, we start with the zones, because we divide the entire region into zones, the urban service area into different zones. So the zones that have had the lowest enumeration rate, we start with those. We get to those right away, and then we keep moving on that way. But residents still have opportunities to self-enumerate, call the pulse line, get your PIN number, while we're also doing the door-to-door enumeration. All process will be very useful at this point.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Kojo Ifu, Supervisor for Planning and Development, Socioeconomic, with the RMWB, about the municipal census.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over Zoom is Kojo Ifu, who is a Supervisor for Planning and Development, Socioeconomic, with the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo. And we're talking about the census. And Kojo, before the break, we were talking about the extension to the census. Now I want to talk about the importance of the census. And I want to give you a little bit of background into my story, as I'm from London, Ontario. And my first memory of the census was just being excited to see what the population was of my hometown. We were just under 400,000 when I was about 10 years old, and I was really curious to see if we were going to peak over 400,000. So obviously growing up, I just assumed that the census was just to see how many people lived in the area, and obviously that is a big part. But can you just kind of touch on, you know, the importance of the census and how it goes beyond just a total count of all those who live here?
Absolutely. Well, the census is primarily an accounting exercise to count the population, to really see, you know, are we expanding, staying the same, shrinking? Because depends on what direction the population is moving, it has a lot of implication in different ways. If we take a typical real estate developer, for example, if he's interested developing in Fort McMurray, and you want to build new homes, and you need to run some analysis, you need to have an understanding what's happening to the population. You know, is it growing, and what portion of the population is it growing? Is it the working age group that is growing? Is it the, you know, children that are growing? Is it the senior component of the population is growing? Because all of that would determine what strategy you have to put in place as you develop. Or furthermore, you know, we collect a bit more information through the census in terms of understanding the demographic structure of the population, because all of those also goes into making appropriate plans. You know, what type of housing should you develop? What exactly should we do? You know, are we a diverse community? And through that diversity, when we are putting together plans or strategy at the municipal level, or even folks in the private sector, are there is a good representation in that diversity in all of the plan and analysis that they're doing. So the census information really goes into, because it contributes quite a lot. You know, something as simple as the water that comes through the pipe. You know, there's a certain amount of water that we're allowed to take from the river and process. And again, that is based on estimation of the population, how many people would use that water for different things. So knowing the population, understanding the demographic structure, and how that is changing over year, it's contribute to making better decision, more efficient decision, and really seeing changes that are happening and how to address those changes.
Okay. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there are a lot. The census plays a big part when it comes to the local government as well. Say, we know that Timberley is a big area. So that, you know, the fact that there's a lot of people living in Timberley would mean that maybe there's a little bit more funding that goes to kind of infrastructure over there compared to maybe another area that doesn't have as many people living. Is that correct? Or maybe I'm just a little bit off?
You might be a little bit off on that in terms of the infrastructure cost allocation. The decisions are made at the region level, mm-hmm. because what we provide the information to at the provincial level and the different grants that we can access based on the population. And those grants are the decision making on how those grants are located and which roads are prioritized are made at the infrastructure level. But all of that is taken into consideration, you know, how many people are going to be using the road and all of those things. So it's not that one area gets to have an advantage over other areas, but it's looked at in general to see what are the main road, what are the main arteries that are used and how it's used. And those decisions are made based on those. I'm sure folks are in our infrastructure department or engineering department can contribute, provide more information on those.
Okay. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, just having past talks with Mayor Don Scott and when we had brought up the census, and I remember him mentioning it a few times when we did an interview back in 2018, that the census plays a big part in knowing how much funding we're going to get from the province and the federal government. Obviously, our population is going to play a big part into that. Can you just maybe elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yes, at the provincial level, there are a lot of there are grants that are population-based grants the province has put in place to enable different regions to be able to access those grants to do different things, and especially infrastructure-related things. The population is not the only thing that is considered, but it's a major component of that, and that's one of the main reasons why we regularly do our census or run population estimation, and the province also does population estimation to know how to allocate those grants and all that. So yes, the census goes into is considered when some of those grant applications have been made.
Okay. And you did mention the province there, and I want to talk a little bit about the federal government, as the one concern I heard from the last few months, and I wouldn't really say it was a concern, but it was probably the biggest response that I heard in any of our census stories, was that I already completed the census and now I have to do it again. And I think there's a lot of confusion around that, because I believe there was also a federal census going on at the same time.
Right. So typically, there are two census in available in the province of Alberta. There's the federal census and there's the municipal census. The province has made it available to municipalities to conduct their own census so that they can get a stronger understanding of their population. And also, the federal census is Canada-wide census. Typically, we tend to not align both censuses at the same times, and we were going to do exactly that. The last census that we conducted was in 2018, and we were trying to do it every 2 years. So we were getting ready to do census one in 2020 to keep an eye on our population, because what we noticed from 2015 to 2018 is the population dropped slightly from 125,000 people in 2015 to about 111,000 people in 2018. So we wanted to check if that trend is persistent, or, you know, if the number stays around 111 or 113,000 people. So we were getting ready to do a census in 2020, but run around the time when we were ready to launch, around the mid-March, the COVID measures were put in place, and you know, everything sort of got stopped at that point.
Okay.
But because of that drop that I mentioned, we thought necessary to conduct the census in 2021, and that's why we kicked it off. But 2021 is also a federal year, because the federal, the Population Act, the Federal Census Act requires the census to be done every 5 years. So the last time that it was done was in 2016, right around the time where the fire was happening in this region, and a new one is happening around 2021. So yes, there's two census going on, but we the reason why we went ahead and we insist to go ahead with the municipal census is because the municipal census gives us opportunity to ask some questions that are very specific to our region, because the federal census, we don't have much say in terms of what kind of question goes in there. There are a lot more community that are engaged in the process, and the decision is made at the Statistics Canada level. But at the municipalities level, we have a bit more control on the question that comes in and what interest us. And also our shadow population really is not well represented in the federal census at all. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we need to see in our community, you know, how many people that are here that do not have a permanent residency here, they have a permanent residency elsewhere, because all of those contribute to the kind of plan and analysis that we make.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Horse River wildfire was maybe a prime example as to why knowing the shadow population is quite important, as we needed to know how many people who don't have an actual residence here maybe had needed to evacuate during the time.
Absolutely, yes. All of those things, you know, emergency preparedness, knowing the total population that will need to evacuate, because at the time of an evacuation, it doesn't matter whether someone is, you know, a permanent resident or not. They need, you know, people need to be helped. So having a really good understanding of the total number of people that are here, regardless whether they have a primary resident elsewhere or not, is very much important for us. So yes, that's part of one of the main reasons that we still continue to do a municipal census, to have a really good understanding of the structure and the size of our population.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk about the census.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Home.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over Zoom is Kojo Ifu, who is a supervisor for planning and development, socioeconomic, with the RMWB, and we're talking about the census. We have a couple of minutes left, and I want to use this time to maybe hopefully encourage some more residents to take the census by maybe just highlighting exactly what the process is going to look like. Maybe some people just have the mindset that it's going to take too long and maybe they just don't have the time. But I know from my landlord that it was quite easy and it was quite quick. So maybe just to start, how long does the typical census take if you're taking it online, or if an enumerator comes door to door?
Right. So the length of time that it takes depends on the size of the household. So if you know, a one person household, it's not going to take you more than 5 minutes. It's very quick. We've made sure that the question, we don't ask a lot of questions, and the questions that we ask, the response option, we've also, you know, worked so hard to compact them so that, you know, residents don't end up spending a lot of time trying to answer the census. So a one person household is going to be about 2 to 5 minutes. Depends on how quick and how agile you are with the technology. About three people house is going to take you about 5 to 10 minutes, no more than that. So that's what we've seen. And the average household size in our region is about three people. Mm-hmm. So we are looking about no less than between 10 minutes and less to complete this census.
Okay, so quite quick. And you kind of talked about the importance of the census, and it really gives the municipality a more in-depth look into its population. So can you just kind of explain some of the questions that a landlord or just an individual might have to answer to maybe get some of that information?
Right. So the census is not just important to the municipality. So there are also other people that use it, you know, businesses, local businesses, non-local businesses, any business that is interested in coming to the region, they use that information as well. So some of the typical questions that we ask on the census that you won't find on the federal census, for example, is we ask, you know, how long has the resident been in the region? You know, being here for so long, one of the things that you hear often is how transient our population is, and we want to take the opportunity to confirm that again. Are we still as transient as we once were, or has the nature of that has changed? So we put a question on the municipal census to ask, and then we've asked that. We are also asking people to provide their year of birth, because we want the opportunity to really calculate the average age of the region and determine how young our population is, and has that shifted over time? Because in previous years, we're not able to do those calculations. We had to rely on federal census information. And we've also asked landlord to you know, some landlords to tell us if they have a basement suite in their house that is being rented. And the reason why we want to do so is because we want to be as accurate as possible to count the total number of people, but the total number of dwellings in the region as well. And if a basement suite meets a definition of a dwelling, then we'll include it. So those are some of the questions that we've included to make sure that we have as accurate number as possible.
Okay, and hopefully that will that explanation will maybe encourage some residents to take it up online, or just wait until an enumerator comes door to door. But just before I let you go, Kojo, I'm curious: is there a number that we need to hit in order for the census to actually? I'm trying to think of the right word here for it to actually count. I'm assuming that if we ended at 51%, obviously we're not going to accept that information. It could be easy enough just to say, oh, we'll just times it by two, but we're obviously not going to do that. Do we need to hit a certain percentage for the census to actually be considered legitimate information?
The higher the number or the completion rate per dwellings, the better it is, because what that does is it offers us the opportunity to accurately extrapolate the information if we need to do so. So by that, what I mean is we are at 51% right now, and we really, really love to hit about 80 to 85 to 95% by July 31st. That would be really, really fantastic. But there's always a tool available to us, which is called a population extrapolation, which means based on the information we've collected so far, can we estimate the rest of the population? Obviously, the lower the rest of the estimation that we need to do, the better. So we're really encouraging residents to, you know, to get in there, to enumerate and return a high number to us. Right now, we're sitting around 51%. So we still have about 49% to go. So we really hoping in the next couple of weeks we'll probably either clear all the 41% or at least get 30% more.
All right. Well, fingers crossed that hopefully this interview can help and maybe just encourage some more residents to do so, as hopefully you explained it. I think you explained it perfectly, just how important the census is. And I understand that some people going into the census may have not known. I was one of those people, not for this census, but for the 2018 one. It really kind of blew my mind knowing just how important the census was. And it wasn't just to see how many people lived here in the region. It's a lot more. So, Kojo, before I let you go, just as a last reminder, for those who don't want to wait door to door, how can they take part online?
If you don't want to wait door to door, just call our pulse line. We are more than happy to take your call and to either enumerate you right there or provide you with a PIN, and you can do so on your own. So just call the pulse line and we'll get back to you as quickly as possible. And thank you for having me on this today to talk about the census. I'm always happy to talk about the census and to contribute to, you know, help doing what I need to do to enumerate in this region as much as I can to keep the region moving. It's a great region. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise family. So I want to contribute as much as I can to continue keeping it that way, and the census is one of the ways to do so.
Once again, that was Kojo Ifu, Supervisor for Planning and Development, Socioeconomic with the RMWB, talking about the census. Once again, if you are looking to take part in the census and don't want to wait for door-to-door, you can just call the Pulse line and they will either give you your PIN number so you can do it online, or they can actually take the census with you over the phone. Now that's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.